Good morning, everyone. Firefighter Ryan Willingham is here, and Firefighter Ryan Hill. We have an abundance of Ryans today that are talking to us here at the Mary Griffith Show, and the firemen are here, and we're going to talk about some really great things that are going on. We're going to let Ryan Willingham just sit back, be the supervisor. Ryan Hill, this is your day to shine. Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Oh, he's got that deep, deep lady love. Okay, we'll have him sing later. Let's talk a little bit about things that are going on. Right now, you've got firefighters at the Western Illinois University Fire Academy, or what is happening? Are they coming down here to help train you? I know Joe Henning, former chief of the Quincy Fire Department, is in charge of the whole shoot match when it comes to firefighting up there at Western Illinois. So tell us about that collaborative effort, please, Ryan Hill.
Yes, ma'am. So as you mentioned, our former Chief Joe Henning, he's in charge of the fire service degree at Western Illinois now. And a part of that degree, they've recently changed it to where freshmen have to come down and do a seven-week academy with us here at the Quincy Fire Department as a part of obtaining their degree.
Ah, so I thought it was them training you, but Joe is using you as free labor. See, that is the way he is. Jeez. He couldn't afford adjunct professors, so he figured out a way to get you guys to train his students. Boy, he's tricky that way.
Yes, he is. Smart man. Smart man he is. So actually, it's actually helped us as well. We have what's called a professional development program through our department that are helping our newer firefighters become officers. And a part of that, we use the WIU students to train with the new guys as officers, quote-unquote, on the training ground. So we get a bit of a best of both worlds between the two, where new firefighters learning how to be firefighters and new firefighters become officers.
Yeah, this is great because, again, so many things that are professions have a select skill set that you have to really be proficient at.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, being a firefighter, you don't just get hired as a firefighter and then you go out on a red truck and gee whiz, what am I doing? It's not a learn-on-the-job kind of thing. So you really have to know what you're doing before you go out and are ready to save lives and property. And so this is a way, I love it, that the freshmen who are wanting to be firefighters, they can really know now, is this something really I'm capable of doing, I want to do? There may be some aspects of it they're not really familiar with, so you let them know this is the real world.
Absolutely. Our training is very intricate and is very real life. It covers a variety of things from EMS to on-the-ground fire scene operations, and the biggest concern in that is safety. And also, as you said before, life preservation and then property.
Okay.
Definitely training the importance of that.
Well, I noticed that there was a fire this week with a raccoon and a mop. We won't go there. That story to me is not completely credible. Because if you throw a candle across a room, well, anyway, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I'm not casting aspersions. But when you got there, you realized that there was no life that could be lost, and it was a building and the roof was going to cave in. So you do what's called defensive. In other words, it's not that you don't want to try to save the structure. You're going to do the best you can. And if there were people in there, or if you thought there were people in there, you would have gone in.
Yes, ma'am.
But there's a thing called defensive fighting, which is save the buildings around it and try to contain and put it out. Talk about that and the decision. Because, you know, again, these are decisions that freshmen in college aren't going to be happy to make. But you're going to have to train your firefighters how to make these decisions. So talk a little bit, Firefighter Ryan Hill. What goes into the decision when you pull up on a scene like that and you're not sure if anybody's inside? Mm-hmm. What do you do first?
So what I will tell you is this, to the left of me, as you stated, that is here with us today, is our new officer, Lieutenant Ryan Willingham. He could better tell you about what it is to arrive on scene and to give what we call a 360 as we talk to dispatch and other arriving units.
Okay. You're going to defer to the big dog. Get right up to that microphone, Firefighter Willingham, and congratulations.
Thank you.
So these are, you know, again, these are decisions that are entrusted to people who've had advanced training, and you are one of those people now. And so you pull up on a scene. What do you do?
It's definitely not a decision that you take lightly. Even with vacant houses and the homeless are always looking for a place to shelter.
You never know if it's vacant, right?
So you don't really know if it's vacant or not. But what we have to keep in mind is the safety of our personnel. if it is a vacant house and it's still a possibility of somebody being inside not knowing, each fire is going to dictate something different. But if there is no known people inside, yes, we are going to not – we try to live by risk a lot to save a lot, risk a little to save a little. At that point, when we go defensive, our main object is to make sure that nothing else around it catches on fire,
yeah.
The neighbor's houses. This last vacant house that caught on fire, we knew nobody was inside. Yes, the roof was unstable, but the houses right – there's two houses right next door on each side, north and south of it. Neither one of those houses sustained any damage that I know of.
Well, thank you for doing that. One thing I know, a house next door to my childhood home, a house next door burned, and it was amazing. You guys must have done a great job because that house was a wreck, but there was no damage to my parents. Well, not my parents' home anymore. It's not my home anymore, but there was no damage. And of course, I was very interested because someday when I'm president of the United States, that's going to be a national park. So I wanted to, you know, make sure it was preserved. So thank you, firefighters, for doing that. Okay, back to the junior guy, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's how they decide. It's not that they don't want to save your property. They do. But if the roof's going to collapse, they don't want to have Ryan Hill, well, maybe Ryan, but other people in there. And so you're teaching, you teach all of this. And Ryan Hill, when you went through the academy, I'm sure you gained a lot of expertise in the academy, but then when you came back and you started as a Quincy firefighter, even though it's a job that you better be ready to do day one, you obviously increased your skills. It takes a while to get really comfortable, right?
Yes,
and that's
ma'am.
Okay. It's okay to have the jitters, you know? I mean, a little bit of nervousness is a good idea. It shows you're not being you know, laissez-faire about it. So these students from Western Illinois University are going to get a real good idea of what it's like.
Yes, ma'am.
And then your people that want to be officers are going to get a real good idea of how to train them to pretend that they're training them to be officers.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Now, when something like that goes on, is that something that Western pays you or you pay Western, or is it just, hey, let's do this together because it's a benefit to both?
That I'm not.
You're not
sure.
Sure.
About.
Mary, call the chief. Don't ask me budget line items, right? Okay, Ryan.
I'm voluntold that I am to arrive and be ready to train.
Okay, I like that voluntold. I don't think if we have to go out on a call, I should be able to play cards. No, I don't think that the chief. I don't think Steve Salvern's going to go along with that. This time of year, we've got that transition. Some people are still heating their homes. Some people, you know, they still need the electric blanket or anything. Is this a dangerous time because people are pulling out the barbecue grill? Maybe they don't take it far enough away from the house. Maybe that propane tank has a clog in the line. I don't even know how those work because we just use charcoal. We're old-fashioned at our house. Are there special fire hazards this time of the season?
Yes, ma'am. So before winter, we have fall. So a lot of
really?
The
I didn't know that. Now, my God, he is good at this job. You don't have to worry about him, Willingham. He'll got it.
You know, a lot of leaves, you know.
Oh, yeah. Build up.
A lot of yard waste. Those things start to dry out when we get those warm days or those warm weeks. So I will, you know, always advise to clean those things up because, as you can tell, unfortunately, what happened in California, embers can and wind and the moody weather we get here in the Midwest, rain, sleet, hail, snow all in a week, can happen along with high winds.
70 degree heat and 80 degree. Well, we had a little drought going on there for a while, too.
We
even had to declare an emergency because our rural firefighters were really, they were exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Those are volunteers.
Yes.
A lot of them have jobs besides being a firefighter. All
yes,
of them
ma'am.
Have jobs besides being a firefighter. And they were going out to so many grass fires and backyard leaf fires.
Yes.
And so the emergency management, and that, frankly, I think they were urged by the fire departments, please call a state of emergency. We just can't do it anymore. Quincy doesn't have quite that trouble. Well, number one, you've got a professional firefighting force with all the trucks always manned. And there's not a lot of broad open area.
Correct.
But when we were having that drought, did you see some fire spark up from somebody throwing a cigarette, you know, out at the park or something? Or was that something that Quincy doesn't have to worry too much about?
We, again, like you stated, we don't have a lot of large areas here. Most of that is rural. I think the closest one we had was over in West Quincy. that did get out of hand during a windy day. But
do you respond over there as a secondary responder if they call for help?
Yes, ma'am, as a mutual aid.
Mutual, yeah. That's what I was trying to think. So fall becomes before winter, and it's called mutual aid. God, I'm learning today. I'm going to be a firefighter. Joe Henney's just going to pass me. I'm going to take a written test and say I learned it all on the Mary Griffith Show. So right now, are you visiting any schools? I know you often visit schools. Mm. Is the spring when you visit, or did you do that in the fall, which comes before winter?
October is typically the month, which is
fire prevention
month in the fire service nationwide. Is when we typically go and take the firehouse and teach a lot of that fire safety with the upcoming cold months, you know, heating your homes with the space heaters and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So,
but we're still in that season a little bit.
We are.
You know, because
we are.
A lot, and what's really worse, you put the electric blanket on and then it gets hot, so you toss it off and you ball it up and it's down at the foot of your bed. And you never know.
Right.
You know, everything's supposed to be safe, but if you've had it for a couple of years, it's been through the washer a few
Correct.
Times, you never know when or your dog's chewed on it. You just never know what's going to happen. So be safe, not sorry, right? In fact, one of the firefighters told me you should never really go to sleep with your electric blanket on. You should only use it to pre-warm your bed and pre-warm you. But as soon as you are drifting off, you should push the off button.
Yes.
I don't do that, but it's good advice.
You should.
I know I should.
We definitely want you to, Mary.
Well, is there anything else you guys want to cover? I mean, I'm just two good-looking men. I get all distracted. I you know, whatever. I know you'll have the fire truck in the parade, probably.
Yes,
the Dogwood Parade. Yes, and any other exciting things that are coming up in the months to come that we need to know about? Or I know you had a few things, and, of course, I can't remember what they were. Is there anything else, Officer Willingham, that you remember we want to talk about? The Firefighter Academy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to become, that's for citizens, so they can go on the website.
The Citizens Fire Academy,
Fire
yep.
Academy. Okay, that's still open, and that won't start till May, so if you still want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. That is a six-week academy.
I think it's every Tuesday night. I've been
yep.
promoting it on my community calendar. Okay, well then.
Yeah, always looking for people to come out and see what it's all about.
Now, years ago, they had a really hard time getting firefighters, police officers too, and it was really low. Are you guys seeing more and more people being interested in being firefighters? I know that you take a big test and then you're on a list, so it's not like something you can't go down and apply every week.
Mm-hmm.
Is where are we? The list has been formed, right? And you're sending people to the academy off of that list, right?
Yes, ma'am.
But you're going to have some retirements, right? I mean, there's from that list, which is already established, there will be more opportunities for people to be hired, right, and to go.
There's always people that surprise you with retirements. Yeah, we are expecting a couple of retirements this year, and obviously every year somebody gets closer and closer to being eligible.
Bernie Valkamp was kind of a surprise, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he had for family reasons. And if Hill doesn't shape up, there'll be an opening.
Possibly.
So, you know, so there's always hope, folks. Don't think that there's not an opening at the Quincy Fire Department. You never know. When
never know.
Opening. Okay, yep. I thank you guys so much for coming by.
Okay.
Sorry I wasn't more prepared, but basically, don't start a fire. And if you do start a fire, call 911. That's one thing the fire department always told me. By the time you think, is this big enough to call? It's big enough to call.
It's too late.
It's
yes.
too late. Do not, they, listen, you're embarrassed. I understand. I've done it a few times. You're embarrassed beyond compare. That's their job. They would rather come to your home in the big red truck with everything blaring and those hot suits on and find nothing than get there 4 minutes later and
have the back of the house, yes.
Your house burned to the ground because you were chasing a raccoon with a candle and a mop.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. We would rather come by and give you a kudos calling us ahead of time than to
we had a malfunctioning smoke and fire alarm in our house that went off, and we couldn't, but I called right away my husband's looking all over camp. I called right away. I said, then they came and said, we'll have to inspect your basement. I said, oh my God, please don't do that. That's a danger to firefighters' life, to go down in that, you know, that's a hoarding area for my husband. So I didn't notice them tie a rope on. But they probably should have when they went down our stairs, just in case that something avalanched over on top of them, they had to get up. It's kind of, sometimes when you have gone into hoarding situations in homes, haven't you, where it's pretty hard to get through.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Then you have to give a little lecture about this really isn't
a little fire hazard.
A little fire hazard there. So, folks, be careful. And when you see a fireman, give them a big salute and say thank you for saving our lives. You're just missed. Go save lives. The Easter Bunny's coming. You can probably see the Easter Bunny. He's visiting me today. He's out in the green room. If you want, he'll probably give you a chocolate egg.
I'm all right with that.
Okay. By the way, thank you for coming by, Lou Rawls. It's always nice for you to be an auxiliary Quincy firefighter. We'll be right back. We've got to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening up there. Hey, we have a little problem here at the Radio Ranch. We have unsightly Easter Bunny buildup. We have two people here to promote Easter egg hunts, one in Timewell, Illinois, and one in Quincy, Illinois. The Easter Bunny is the special emissary of First Melrose Chapel, First Easter Egg Hunt, something new for Melrose Chapel.
Something new.
Easter Bunny, thank you. I didn't know. I always wondered where the Easter Bunny went to church.
Well, I frequent many churches, but
good.
But this weekend and on Saturday morning, I'll be at Melrose Chapel. Actually, I personally won't. Well, I'll be there. No, the Easter Bunny sometimes is a little scary for young children, so he's going to hop somewhere else tomorrow morning.
Okay,
but still, there'll be plenty of fun.
You're not very scary. I wouldn't run away from you.
Well, you know, I'm not in my full makeup.
Yeah. Well, you got enough on to draw attention.
There we go.
Your good friend JT Dozier, Easter Bunny.
Oh, yes.
Loves to talk about Melrose Chapel. He's here a lot. So bring your own basket to collect the eggs.
That's correct.
And hop on over, 9 to 11. The little bitty tykes, the hunt starts at 9:15. Yeah. And then the 3 to 5 year olds take the grounds at 9:30, and then the 6 to 10 year olds take the grounds at 9:45. What if it rains, Easter Bunny?
Well, I think you have a good forecast for us, but we do have space indoors.
Okay.
So it'll work. I'm just waiting for my age group, you know, those 39-year-old Easter egg hunt. It'll all be good. And also, there's going to be more things than just hunting for eggs. There's going to be a scavenger hunt, face painting, games, cookie decorating, and more. The church is being all decorated. It'll be a very fun time. So bring out the kids. Bring out the grandkids.
So this will probably cost us $50, $100, $200 a kid. Or what is the cost, Easter Bunny, at 36th and Payson Road?
I'm taking care of all those expenses.
It's free?
It's free. No charge.
All right. Well, we can't wait. The first annual Melrose Chapel Easter Egg Hunt. Bring your own basket.
Bring your own basket.
Hop on over to 36th and Payson Road, south of Quincy, and 10 years and younger. They'll be by the age groups, the scavenger hunt, the face painting, the games, the cookie decorating. It's just a wonderful outreach from the fine folks at Melrose Chapel. And thank you to the Easter Bunny and his very good friend, JT Dozier.
And after that, there's more to come.
Yeah, I was going to say, after that, you can hop on up to Timewell for the Easter egg hunt. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Bye-bye, Easter Bunny.
Thank you.
Well, one of my very favorite people in the whole world is here at 9:45, Gretchen Forsyth. She's decked out, free ad, no charge, in her Freeman Milky Way farm gear because when she's not entertaining the Easter Bunny at Camp Jemison Wood, she also earns a living at Milky Way Farm. So we're very happy with that. We're going to have a big event up at Jemison Woods on Saturday, April 12th. They're serving a lunch from 11 to 1 in the beautiful Dixon Lodge, and then they're going to have an Easter egg hunt. And again, just like the Easter Bunny down at Melrose Chapel, the Easter Bunny will then hop up to Timewell and will be there, and there'll be all kinds of great things. But you have a special guest to introduce today. The Easter Bunny couldn't come today, but you have something almost as good visiting the Mary Griffith Show. Please introduce your guest.
I am very, very happy to introduce Julia DeMoss. She is a Quincy girl originally, but she met her husband while she was camping at Jemison Woods. They married, now have a beautiful little girl. And she is our new summer camp director for Jemison Woods.
Well, welcome. And welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
I don't want too much detail about how you met your husband at Camp Jemison Woods. We may have to talk about separate arrangements there. Were you a kid?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I was a counselor.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So another counselor caught your eye.
Yes.
Okay. I thought for a minute, well, we won't go there.
There's been lots of romance.
Oh, I bet there's been. And you know what? You have family camp, too. So after you fall in love and have a family, you go up to Jensenwoods, too.
Yes.
Well, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about summer camp. But one of the best ways to learn about summer camp is come up tomorrow and see Camp Jensenwoods.
That's right. And there'll be wagon rides and food and all kinds of fun things to do. And
we'll have goats and an opportunity to paint a horse.
A real horse?
It'll be a blast. Yes, ma'am.
Like a Native American would paint him? Okay. Okay. Well, there's going to be all kinds of stuff. Oh, this is for something else. We're not doing that right now. Okay. So the Easter Bunny will be there. There'll be an Easter egg hunt. That starts at 11 o'clock, three age groups.
And it's free.
All free, all outdoor activities. Puppy, goats, and horses there.
Yes.
No miniature horses, just big ones. Okay, that's okay.
The miniature horses will be at the Dogwood Parade, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
We will also be walking in the Dogwood Parade. We should have goats, horses, bikes. We'll have a wagon.
I don't want to be behind you. barbecue sandwiches, hot dogs, chili dogs, nachos, great cookies, great drinks, while the supplies last. And again, they're just asking a free will offering. So, do you have a charge on Saturday?
No, we are asking free will. We just want people to come and enjoy time together as a family and step out into the woods on a nice day.
Okay. Meet God in the woods.
That's
at
right.
Jensen Woods.
God's
That's
nature.
What Gretchen Forsyth always says. You know, we just had on yesterday, we talked about the brand new Forest Health Park. There's one in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There's one in Memphis, Tennessee. And opening on April 26th. Is the park in Quincy, only the third park in the Midwest that is a forest health park.
Isn't that something?
It's fascinating. So if you missed yesterday's show, go on the website, listen to the Mary Griffith Show podcast, because your doctor can actually send you there.
Well,
like for anti-anxiety and stuff. And that's what Jensen Woods
also does.
Yes,
it's 558 acres of God's nature, and when I drive in the gate, it's just like an outdoor cathedral to me, and it's just wonderful. I think it's the most beautiful place on the earth.
I know you're very, and it is. It's beautiful. The wagon rides are nice because it's a big camp, but if you want to see everything, like they have these little tree houses up in the trees.
Yes.
They've got a lodge where kids can stay in if it gets rainy.
Yes.
But let's turn our attention now to Miss DeMoss. And that's your name, right, DeMoss?
Yes.
Was your mother or grandmother a Girl Scout leader? Could be.
Ginger might have been.
Yes, okay.
Possibly.
Know her. Okay. Tell us about Jensen Woods Camp and what is offered this summer. And it starts in June, I probably guess. Okay.
Yes. Camp starts June 15th. And we are so excited. We have amazing staff members this year. We have an incredible new wrangler who's coming all the way from Georgia, and she will be leading all of our horse programming. She does a fantastic job with children. She will bring just new ideas to the camp and continue our horse programming that we had before. We have mountain bike camps. We have a horse-powered reading camp, which is a brand new opportunity where children who love to read or struggle to read can join up with a horse-powered reading facilitator and do activities with horses to overcome reading barriers. And I'm really excited for that, for K through sixth graders.
So kids who struggle, and we know some do, if you love to read, no problem. But if you struggle, you get a reward of being by the horse. You get the calmingness of reading to the horse because they're non-judgmental if you don't pronounce it right. But there's an adult there to help you or a counselor there to help you. And you get the reward then, maybe of getting a little ride around the ring or something if you finish your book.
Yeah, they do all sorts of activities to help children become more confident in their reading skills. So an example of an activity would be they build an obstacle course for the horse, and they have to say their sight words to produce fluency. And so they'll say their sight words quicker than the horse can step out of the obstacle course. That's just one example of the activities that they'll be doing. So
you
we
have a limbo pole for the horses. That I would love to see.
No, but horses can do great things.
Oh,
they're jumping through hula hoops and all kinds of things.
They can do lots of things you don't want them to do.
Yes, thank you.
You know, it's funny. You say, well, that fence is sturdy. Yeah, really? Not if there's something they want on the other side. They'll figure out a way to get over it. But again, I was a horseback riding instructor at Girl Scout camp, so I know how important it is. Kids love that introduction, that soft, gentle introduction. because horses are big and they can be scary if you're a little bit afraid. But if you're professional, you know how to do it right. This lady's a professional wrangler. You're going to get the kids acclimated to the horse. The horse will get acclimated to the children. They're used to this. It's all old hat to them. Okay, here comes another summer camp. But that is really, that reading program I think is great. Yes. There's going to be a lot of people listening today who are saying, I want my kid to go to summer camp, but they should be going to summer school.
So maybe
this is
as
a way
teacher,
to kill kind of two birds with one stone. Yeah.
Yeah, as a teacher, I always had parents asking, who can tutor my student over the summer? And this is not a long-term tutoring by any means.
No, no.
But it's a way that you can send them to camp. They can enjoy all the activities that we do at normal day camp, but also get a little reading in a fun way. So we're really excited
and
to launch this.
Jensen is joyful. You know,
right.
The kids just learn about themselves, learn about God and nature, and laugh and get dirty and have fun and make friends and
don't necessarily take a bath.
Yeah, and it's
which is
good
okay.
Good food, and they can yell and hoop and holler. You know, we're 558.
You're out in the middle. Yeah,
we're a
558. Every once in a while, Time will call and say you're just a little bit too loud. And if you get too loud, that Time will call, then you know they're having a good time at Jensen Woods. So the camp starts on June 15th. There's how many weeks of camp this summer?
We will have 4 weeks of camp with a break the week before the 4th of July, where that week is available for groups to come in. We have homeschool groups who are interested in coming. If Girl Scout groups, church groups, anybody wants to come for a day or two during that week, they're welcome. And before and after our programming, we would love to welcome those types of groups to come and host their own camps and just use our space.
Now, does that include the horses? In other words, if I come out there for a week with my group, whatever that is, you'll have this wrangler. She or someone will be available to help us with horseback riding. Maybe not every day, but at least one day or something like that?
Yes, especially if you come the week before July 4th, the wrangler will definitely be there. If you came late May, we could arrange for you to use the horses, but before late May and after July, the horses will be going back to their homes.
They go to summer camp, too.
That's right.
They have to be, you know what? All the horses at Jensen Woods have trouble reading. That's why they're out at summer camp. That's something little known. So a few of them will have glasses on, okay? And don't make fun of them. They're really trying to improve their skills. Horseback riding is a big draw.
Yes.
What are some of the other things that kids do at Jensen Woods that might be a little bit different than other camps?
Yes, so we have 15 miles of trails. So they mountain bike the trails if you do mountain bike camp, horseback riding, hiking, creeking. We love to wade through the creeks and look for arrowheads, and the kids just love playing with the mud and the clay and making crafts. They do fishing, archery, swimming in the pond every afternoon. And, of course, the most important part of the day are when we focus our time on Jesus. And we gather around the campfire for devotions. We sing lots of worship songs, camp songs. We have someone come in and give the message each night around the campfire while the sun sets behind us. And just get to grow kids in their faith. And children who've never even heard the name of Jesus before, all the way to kids who've been going to church their whole life. And my favorite story was when a little girl was walking with me on the road, and I said, "What's one thing you learned at camp this week?" And she said, "I learned that there was a God that loves me, and I didn't know that before."
Okay, mic drop. That's pretty powerful. What age can go to Jensen Woods Camp in the summer?
K through 12. Any
K
age.
Through 12, okay.
Yes.
Wow, that is exciting. Well, you're going to – is this your first year as camp director?
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to have a lot of fun. What do you do in the real world?
I'm a mother now.
Okay.
I was a teacher for 4 years,
okay.
But I'm home with a beautiful baby. And
will the beautiful baby be coming to work with you?
She will be around.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, one of the ways you can sign up and maybe even get a discount, I think, is if you come tomorrow to the Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
So
it's a
luncheon with barbecue sandwiches and hot dogs and chili dogs and nachos and all kinds of, you know, outdoor-y fun food at the Jensen Woods. And then the Easter egg hunt starts at 11 for the three different age groups, camp tours with the wagon, puppies, goats, horses, early bird discount on camp registrations. They do ask a free will donation. We've only got about a minute left, Gretchen, but I know that fundraising is something you're constantly working on. How are things going at Jensen Woods?
Yes, we always are seeking and appreciate any donations that come our way, and it's used for services for kids. But if you haven't been there for a while, things look a little different. We have a playground now, and we have the Faith Garden, which is just absolutely beautiful. So there's lots of things to see at the camp, and we just welcome everyone, and come and have a joyful time.
Come and have a joyful time. Find out about Camp for Your Kids, and find out about Camp for Your Family or your church group or something,
yes,
because Jensen Woods wants to be used year-round.
That's
and with
right.
the Dixon Lodge, they can be
That's right.
used
That's
year-round.
Right. Yes.
Okay, tomorrow, the Spring Fling at Jensen Woods, it's up near Tymo, off of Highway 24, basically,
yes,
right?
If you, about 40 minutes from Quincy.
Okay.
Yes.
You can't miss it. I did get lost. But if you stop in Tymewell and say, I'm going to buy this.
No,
don't.
All you need to do is follow the sign.
Yeah.
We have signs all over. So.
And the horses will be pooping, so stick your nose out the window, too. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having us.
Congratulations on the best job in the world, being with kids all summer long. Gretchen Forsyth, you know I love you.
Yeah, I love you, too.
Also, folks, go to Freeman Milky Way Farm in Camp Point. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's your damn free plug. We're not going to give you anything more free of charge. Hey, the week's over for the Mary Griffith Show, but don't fear, folks. We'll be back to do it all again on Monday, so you stay tuned.